Yeah, what about atheists who are very nature conscious and they are, relatively speaking, good people? So, yeah, see, there is in the Bhagavad Gita analysis in terms of the three modes: Sattva Guna, Rajoguna, and Tamoguna. That is, mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. And these three are psychological types. And just as religionists can be in all three types, there can be religionists who are passionate, who are violent, who are destructive, or ignorant. Similarly, atheists can also be in three types. So, when I said that atheism has led to violence, as atheism has led to destruction of so many people, now this does not mean that all atheists will become like that. Just as we may say religion has led to fanaticism, that does not mean that all religions lead to fanaticism. All religionists become fanatics. So there can be atheists also of different types. And sometimes some people become atheists primarily because of their bad experiences with religion. Now, maybe they found that some believers were very fanatical, or they found that some religious practices were very oppressive or irrational. And actually, in one sense, religion is the greatest cause of atheism. That means not religion in itself, but misapplied, mispresented, mispracticed religion, that is the cause of atheism. So people when they so when see thoughtful people at some time or the other, they want to make sense of life. And they look around them for some explanatory framework. Now, if the religion that is presented to them is just some set of dogmas, do this, don't do this, then that alienates them. If the religion itself doesn't make sense, then they feel that maybe atheism makes more sense. So that's how they adopt atheism. So they can be thoughtful people and they may feel that, okay, I'm a part of this world and the body I'm made up of, that will dissolve into nature, it will return to other parts. That's fine. As far as their conception of themselves based on their experience is concerned. But what we can talk about with such atheists is two main things. First is that we all try to make sense of life, isn't it? In fact, when science is also basically an attempt to make sense of life, not necessarily in the big picture, but at least in terms of when Newton saw the fruit falling. What does it mean? He's assuming, when he saw the fruit falling, he asked, what made this fruit fall? That question itself assumes that things don't happen just by itself. There is some pattern, some order to things. So, what is the source of that order? In fact, all science is based on this faith that there is an order in nature. Now, why should there be an order in nature at all? See, let's like, suppose now somebody, I'm giving a class and somebody sends me a note. And if I see, that note is just a set of scribble, I just can't understand this. Now, I might just put it away. But if I know that the person who has sent is intelligent and the person wanted to convey something to me, then I will look at it carefully. Maybe they have written it in a language that I don't understand. And then I'll try to find out. So the point which I'm making here is, if I see something, the very fact that I'm trying to understand its meaning means that I am at least in a preliminary way accepting that there might be some meaning over here. Otherwise, why would I explore? So science itself, it begins by assuming that there is an order in nature. Otherwise, there would be no scientific exploration at all. So then the question comes up, where does this order come from? Now, this is not literally speaking the design argument. This is the argument, we're not talking about whether this is designed or not. We're simply asking the question, what is the basis for assuming that there is order in nature? And more importantly, science progresses by, okay, we make sense of this phenomena. Okay, the visible motion of objects we can understand through Newton's laws of gravity. Then we have laws of thermodynamics. We have Einstein's relativity. We have quantum physics. So basically, science helps us to make sense of things. But then, if we have just a materialistic worldview, if there are so many things which make sense, okay, why does this apple fall down? you know, why does this bulb turn on? There's so many things which make sense, but life makes no sense. Ultimately, what is the point of life? I live, I am born, I grow up, I live for some time, flap around, and then I die. What is the point of it all? So, the materialistic worldview, it helps us to find islets of meaning while sinking in an ocean of meaninglessness. You understanding the logical illogicality in this? We are so, scientists are so excited. Oh, we understood this theory. We understood this phenomena. So we are looking for islets of meaning. But the philosophy, the materialistic philosophy, what is the end conclusion? Yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. This makes sense. But ultimately, everything is meaningless. So if there is an ocean of meaninglessness, why are there islets of meaning? Or if there are islets of meaning, might there be the ocean also is meaningful? So we can't have it both ways. If there is meaning in some parts of the cosmos, in the sense that there is some order, why is that order there? If that order is there, then why not that the order be everywhere? Or if there is not order everywhere, why is this order there at all? So either there will be complete meaninglessness, or there should be complete, there should be meaningfulness. So what, now how science progresses is that even when some observations don't make sense, science doesn't assume that they don't, that there is no meaning. They look for some deeper theory. For example, Einsteinian and Newtonian physics, it worked from the 17th century till the 20th century. But as scientists started exploring the very big objects at the cosmic level, and they started going into the atom at a deeper level, at fundamental particles, they found that physics doesn't, the Newtonian physics doesn't work. No, objects which move very fast, they don't seem to work according to Newton's laws. Their motion can't be described by Newton's laws. And similarly, fundamental particles, their motion can't be described by Newtonian physics. Now, at this point, they did not assume, oh, it doesn't make sense. Maybe there is some other theory to explain this. And then they came up with relativity physics to explain the motion of cosmic bodies. And they came up with quantum physics to explain the behavior of fundamental particles. The point is that even when we can't find any meaning, science doesn't give up the search for meaning. It explores deeper. It assumes that there might be some deeper theory, deeper principles involved, which we don't know right now. So similarly, when we accept a materialistic worldview, we are basically accepting defeat in the search for meaning. In the search for meaning. Yeah, okay, this phenomena makes sense, that phenomena makes sense, that phenomena makes sense, but life, it doesn't make any sense. I was born, I live, and I die. So it just doesn't add up. But if we are open-minded, then you can say, okay, if there are so many things which make sense, then maybe there is some deeper philosophy, some deeper principle, some deeper theory, which can make sense of the whole picture also. And then if we accept the point that our core is spiritual, that there is a supreme intelligence who is in charge, then life starts falling in place, like a jigsaw puzzle. No, things start falling in place and things make much more sense. So we may have to approach such atheists who are thoughtful people from a thoughtful perspective, where we appreciate their thoughtfulness but point out the incoherence of the big picture. So the idea that there are islets of meaning in an ocean of meaninglessness, that is incoherent. So let's find out what is the meaning of the ocean. And that is the exploration that is spirituality. Now, Bhagavad Gita says that it concludes by telling Arjuna, Vimrishyaita dasheshena yathechisita guru. Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna, you have to believe in me. Krishna tells Arjuna, deliberate deeply on what I have said and then decide what you want to do. So the Bhagavad Gita calls us to use our intelligence to understand, to explore. It doesn't demand faith, rather it invites exploration. And that way we can invite even, we could say, thoughtful atheists to explore life's spiritual paradigm. Does that answer your question?
Yes,
thank you. Yes. Yes, true. Yes, Mathani. We'll come to you if you don't mind.
Yes, you were mentioning about the